Deuteronomy 25, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 19, the whole chapter. Deuteronomy 25 and verses 1 through 19. Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 1. These are the words of the Lord. If there is a dispute between men, and they come to court that the judges may judge them, and they justify the righteous and condemn the wicked, then it shall be, if the wicked man deserves to be beaten, that the judge will cause him to lie down and be beaten in his presence, according to his guilt, with a certain number of blows. 40 blows he may give him, and no more, lest he should exceed this, and beat him with many blows above these, and your brother be humiliated in your sight. You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. If brothers dwell together and one of them dies and has no son, the widow of the dead man shall not be married to a stranger outside the family. Her husband's brother shall go into her, take her as his wife, and perform the duty of a husband's brother to her. And it shall be that the firstborn son which she bears will succeed to the name of his dead brother, that his name may not be blotted out of Israel. But if the man does not want to take his brother's wife, then let his brother's wife go up to the gate to the elders and say, "My husband's brother refuses to raise up a name to his brother in Israel. He will not perform the duty of my husband's brother." Then the elders of his city shall call him and speak to him. But if he stands firm and says, "I do not want to take her," then his brother's wife shall come to him in the presence of the elders, remove his sandal from his foot, spit in his face and answer and say, "So shall it be done to the man who will not build up his brother's house." And his name shall be called in Israel, "The house of him who had his sandal removed." If two men fight together and the wife of one draws near to rescue her husband from the hand of the one attacking him, and puts out her hand and seizes him by the genitals, then you shall cut off her hand and your eye shall not pity her. You shall not have in your bag differing weights, a heavy and a light. You shall not have in your house differing measures, a large and a small. You shall have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. For all who do such things, all who behave unrighteously, are an abomination to the Lord your God. Remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt, how he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers at your rear when you were tired and weary, and he did not fear God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord your God has given you rest from your enemies all around, and the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance, that you will blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget. And those are God's words in Deuteronomy 25. And generally speaking, again, this chapter covers, in a big picture, the 10th commandment, "Thou shalt not covet," and yet also brings out other commandments that are being talked about and expounded upon. In verses 1 through 3, the mediating of appropriate punishments. Verse 4, that law is applied, the law in verse 4 applied by Paul two times to support the work of ministers. Verses 5 through 10, the disgrace of the one who refuses to marry his brother's widow, dealing with the fifth commandment. And verses 11 and 12, the punishment of the immodest woman, with the sixth and seventh commandments. And through verse 16, the dealing with just weights and measures, and so dealing with the eighth commandment and the sin of stealing. And the remaining verses, the justice that should be brought upon the Amalekites after entering the land. And why? Here it is so that God's people would not act in similar ways as described in verses 17 and 18 at the heart of the 10th commandment, one commentator says, is justice. That there should be a constant and perpetual desire to render to everyone that which is their own. which God has given to them. And justice is the guarding of what belongs to a person that was given to them by God. And coveting oversteps the bounds of what one takes to himself and intrudes upon the possessions of others. So that's some exposition on the 10th commandment. Let's pray to the Lord. Our Father, we give you praise that you are a God who loves to provide for your people. You give us everything that we need through various means, and mostly through our work. And we're thankful for this. We're thankful even of many in our congregation who are able to make their own things and prepare those things. We're thankful for that. Father, we ask that you would continue providing for your people and for the church. And make us good stewards of what you've given to us. That we would not only use them for the means of spreading the good news amongst our family and amongst the church, but also sharing and helping one another in need, especially in our day today, this week, and the weeks ahead. Father, we ask that you would make us to be what we've heard in the past couple weeks in Deuteronomy, those who share and help others in need. Father, we also ask that you would give us especially those who have babies, that you would provide for them, especially when it's hard to find supplies for that. Father, we also plead this week that you, as we know, were called by the president today, a national day of prayer for the virus that's going around. And whether that's politicized or not, and overly politicized or not, does not matter. Because we ought to be thankful that our president, as wicked as he might be, has called for such a day in prayer. And so we ought to pray and we ought to ask for help with this virus that's going around. And so, Father, we ask that you would hear our prayers, hear the prayers of your people throughout the world, and that you would protect your people. We ask that you're in all things, even all that we pray for, that your will would be done. And that you would bring about exactly what you have decreed from all eternity at this time to come about. And we pray for the salvation of many, as we often do, amongst the Gentiles, but also amongst the Jews. That you would use such means, even plagues and pestilence, to bring about despair, in which the only hope and comfort can be found in Christ your Son. And we pray that we would testify of that truth and be faithful to do that. We pray that no one among us would get this virus, especially those who are older amongst us and more susceptible to greater health issues and even perhaps death. We ask the same thing for our sister churches and our presbytery and our denomination and all Christians throughout the world, that you would protect them. And we pray that that your worship on this, the Lord's Day, the coming Lord's Days, Father, that you would continue your worship amongst your people throughout all lands, and that none would have to cancel and none more would cancel. Father, we ask that the church would be found, and even as we think of ourselves as a congregation, we pray that for the church, though, that you would make us to be a serving people, and especially serving those in need or serving those who are despairing or panicking, that you would give us all calm hearts and not anxious hearts, that we would lift up our praise and thanksgiving to you even in such times. And Father, that we ask that you would again provide, and any diseases that come up, you would heal if it be your will. And we trust your will. We trust your judgments that you're bringing, the plague or pestilence, however you want to call it, Father, you know. And we ask that you would bring it about just so, exactly how you mean it. But Father, for the righteous that remain, we pray that you would protect your people and show mercy. And then Father, we also pray today for our hearts, that you would sanctify us and cleanse us of our sin. We are great in our sin, and we have sinned against you. We've broken, as we heard in the scripture reading today, the 5th through the 10th commandments, loving our neighbor as ourselves. We've failed in this week, even this morning. And so, Father, forgive us and cleanse us of our sin and cause us to turn back to you and to the way we ought to honor our inferiors and superiors and our peers, that we ought to not seek to murder anyone or harm anyone or even bring sickness upon anyone. Father, we ask that you would cause us not to commit adultery, but turn back to you from that and the lust of our heart, even lust after other gods and idols. Father, we ask that you would cause us not to be people who steal, but are honest when we have to sell things and buy things, and that we would have just weights and measures, that we would not lie, that you would turn us from such air of lying and cheating, things like this, and also, of course, coveting, as we've already prayed. Keep us to be content with what you've provided. Father, we are thankful for the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that you would spread the kingdom and grow it even in such times, and that you would bring about the proclamation of the gospel amongst the people that you've called to preach. And as we look throughout the world, there are many who are getting into pulpits and are weak, are effeminate, are lacking courage, and they preach what men want to hear because they fear men. And we pray that you would rebuke all of us who do so, even myself, and you would turn all preachers back to yourself, and they would preach as dying men unto dying men, and that you would grant salvation through the proclamation of the Word of God, even as you work by your Holy Spirit. And all these things we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.